Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
You're listening to Kathy Is In with Kathy DeBono.
Welcome back to Kathy Is In, the Kathy DeBono Show, everyone. We have been gone for a couple of weeks, but today we are here live. I am with my producer and fiancé, Jill Bennett.
Hello. And I like that I'm producer first, fiancé second.
Well, today. That's okay. The way it works.
Fair enough.
And our lovely roommate, and was an associate producer, but is now moving on to bigger and better things. But she might come back. I don't know. She's wishy-washy like that. But we love her. Her name is Becca Cates.
Thank you. That was quite an impressive introduction of me.
I don't know.
Yes, you deserve it.
You deserve it, Becca Cates.
Yeah, well.
So Jill and I have just returned to the States. Well, I say just because it feels that way to me, but we got back about a week ago, late Wednesday night for us, about a week ago, from Germany. Jill and I were there for how many days?
Only seven.
Oh, seven. Like a week.
Yeah.
All right. Wow, the last 2 weeks have just, well, three now. What planet are we on?
Planet Earth.
Not, certainly not. I don't know. I mean, okay, so it was an 11.5-hour flight between here and Germany, and then they are 9 hours ahead of us.
Yeah.
So we thought coming back, you know, we get those hours back. I thought a good night's sleep and I'll be okay, but to tell you what, 3-4 days later, I was still...
sleeping until 4 p.m.?
Kind of messy.
Yeah.
I just couldn't get it right. And then I couldn't fall asleep at night. And then I couldn't wake up in the day. And I just could not get it right. I'm prone to being a night owl anyway.
Yeah.
So I got back here. My body was like, yes, finally on a normal time schedule. We get up at 4. We stay awake for a couple hours of light. And then we go play with the stars.
A.K.A. a vampire.
Mm-hmm.
Not real. I don't know. I don't know what it is. But I'm getting there. Jill bust in the room this morning with a cup of coffee at 10 a.m.
I know. At the crack of dawn.
And I was like, what time is it? My eyes.
You're always so out of it in the morning. Like, I don't think I've ever met anyone who's that much of a zombie in the morning.
Thank you, honey.
Well, no. I mean, it's true. You admit to this. I'm not saying anything that isn't true.
Yeah. No, I'm extremely disoriented when I first wake up. And
you can't even make words.
That's true.
You can't even make words.
She can't.
I can't. I just grunt. And then if you try to talk to me for too long before I'm awake,
she will shut you right out.
Yeah. I will growl.
She
will
growl. I'm not even awake yet.
No, she doesn't form words. She said that's the interpretation of the sound she makes. Really, it's just,
Come on, you guys.
So, yeah. So the travel was tough.
The travel was tough. Our ride out there, we were so excited because we had tickets on the flight, regular coach economy tickets, but we had these upgrades that were gifted to us by GayTravelBuddy.com.
Yes.
So we were supposed to be able to use these vouchers to get into business class where a 6-foot-tall woman like myself could sit normally. And it didn't work. They didn't do it. There's always some booking class was a problem or something was a problem. Anyway, I never count on these things until they happen anyway, so I wasn't really all that disappointed. We go back to our seats, though, and we are in the final row of our section, so our seats don't recline at all.
No, they reclined about a quarter of an inch.
Well, what's the difference?
Made a point to say they recline a little bit,
yeah,
and I was like, I'm going to stuff this pillow in your face.
Yeah.
It was bad.
Ever
so
locked up abroad?
Yeah, I know.
That sounds
to Jill
exciting.
In a German jail.
Yeah. So we sat there, and then the people in front of us, of course, they can recline. So I'm not kidding. Put your finger about 2 inches in front of your nose. That's where the seats in front of us came back to.
Yeah.
And to even get anything out from underneath the seat in front of us, we had to stand up, get in the aisle, and then reach in.
It was bad.
So put yourself there for 11.5 hours, and you will understand our cranky selves. By the time we got to Germany, but we got to Munich, and Munich was beautiful, and the people were beautiful, and they were so kind and so wonderful. And we want to thank right now Bettina Stauber for inviting us out there. She put this whole event together. She screened We Have to Stop Now Season 2 at a really cool venue in a mall there in Munich in their movie theater. They had it set up so classy. They had a big red carpet for us and a big We Have to Stop Now poster, and the people were so welcoming and so wonderful. And there was a party afterwards, and it was just a really good night.
It was a an amazing night, and the women there were I mean, we love, it's one of our favorite things to travel to meet people at festivals and to connect with them. These girls were so friendly and nice, and you know, everybody was giving everybody else a chance to talk to us. Like, there was none of that, like, sometimes people start to corner you and just want to take up all your time, and everybody
was so thoughtful of each other.
And
we stayed there till the party. We closed out the party, which is not normal for me. I'm usually ready to go after an hour or two.
Yeah.
And we stayed there because we were having a good time. So just a little shout out to all of our new friends that we met that night. We remember you guys. We had fun with you guys. We appreciate the conversation. And what was really cool for me is Germany's not a place that I ever thought I'd go. You know, you have your bucket list. And on my bucket list are things like Italy, you know, that's where my ancestors are from. And then you have your idea of the kind of weather you like, and you pick these other places. I never really thought about going to Germany. I never really thought I wouldn't go, but I never thought I would go. It just wasn't really on my list. So I was really blown away by getting to be there and getting to meet the people of Munich, who were so nice, and almost everybody spoke English beautifully.
And everyone was helpful. Like, there's a, you know, again, we've traveled a lot around the world, and it's interesting how each city has its own, or each country has its own attitude towards tourists. And it was very clear that, at least in Munich, they were very welcoming and friendly and went out of their way to help. Mm-hmm. And
we stayed at the King's First Class Hotel, which was wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
It was a beautiful, comfortable room, and they gave breakfast comes with your room every morning,
which
and
is apparently
a huge
common
spread
in Europe.
Oh, it was awesome.
It was gorgeous.
It was
and
awesome.
And they were a sponsor of the Munich Gay Pride, so they're a...
The King's First Class.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they're so a hotel we like.
Check them out. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to get a little bit of orientation before we move on. When we were there, of course, we went and looked at the history. Went to Dachau concentration camp, and we'll talk about that. And we went and took tours of, you know, after we were done with Munich, we went to Berlin, and we took tours and stuff like that. And there's this idea of history became even bigger. History and ancestry and how we hand it down, how we grow up in it, and how important it is, right down from the history of your own personal family, you know, the four people that grew up in your house, right down to the entire country. And obviously the history that's loudest there is the World War II history, and that's where, you know, we went and saw a lot of those things. But the thing that struck me was the people we met there, they want to move on, obviously. I mean, who wouldn't want to move on from what happened there in World War II with the Holocaust and Hitler? You can't just live in that frame of mind. You have to try to put it behind you. You have to try to move on. It's the only thing you can do. But when we were talking to people in Munich, really stuck out to me was one girl. She was like, so what'd you do? And I said, well, we took a trip to Dachau. And she was like, Americans, why is that the first thing you guys want to do? The first thing you do when you get to anywhere in Germany is you want to go visit a concentration camp. It's like there's so much more to Germany than that.
Right.
And it struck me that she didn't realize that the rest of the world, that is the first thing they think of.
Yeah,
it is true. It is their loudest, brightest mark on history.
Yes. And the ugliest mark. I mean, seriously, like, my tagline for Germany was, like, Germany, it's more than just the Holocaust. That's how I felt after I went there. But that's how what I think of immediately when I think of Germany I can't think of anything else.
Most people do.
Yeah.
I think most people would. Especially, and maybe it's louder for us, I don't know this, but it got me thinking about these kinds of things. But we were talking to Bettina at dinner, and we were telling her about the friends that we have, Becca in the room being one of them, who are direct descendants of Holocaust survivors who then fled Europe and came to the States. And it's a very, very, very present piece of history in the lives of people in generations who were not even around during the World War, Becca being one of them, the generation above her being her, you know, her parents, another one. It was her grandparents that
survived this. Pretty much anyone in L.A. or New York, you're going to be friends with somebody probably who's a descendant of a Holocaust survivor.
Well,
or Florida.
Mm-hmm.
That's where most of the Jews are.
Two of our,
Chicago.
Two of our closest friends are grandchildren
of
Holocaust survivors, Becca being one of them. So anyway, we have this around us. It's very present with us. It's very present in the blood of the people that we love. And I realized Bettina, when we told her about this, it hadn't occurred to her. It was a thing of the past for her because there are no Jews in their town. I mean, there are Jews there. Okay, there are very few. And so
yeah.
It's a rare person there that has a close Jewish friend or someone who was a descendant of a Holocaust survivor, because I'm guessing they mostly didn't stay.
Or they're dead. Right. There aren't descendants.
Exactly. What I'm saying is they didn't stay there and live their lives and have their descendants stay there. They left. And so we know how the history is embedded in their blood and in their DNA and in the PTSD is handed down. But she was oblivious to it. Yeah. And we were telling her about it. And she was, you know, listening, heartfelt, because she's a human being. She wasn't a part of the war. It kind of reminded me of how we feel about slavery here in the country. We can have a real attitude of, come on, let's move on, let's get over it.
Right.
Let's get past it. We weren't there. We weren't the ones who did it. We're against it. We're on your side. And we kind of want the pain to go away. But it's handed down and it's in the blood. And we can see that. And we have a reverence
for that because
our friends are in our friends.
We live with it every day.
Right,
and
every single day.
They don't.
That really never occurred to me.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk more about that, and we're going to talk more about the kind of project I'd like to do about connecting those two bridges. And we're going to commercial now?
No, honey, we're not. We still have 30 seconds.
Oh, well, 30,
this is a weekly challenge.
28, 27. We're also going to talk about the great challenge, though.
Yes.
The great weight loss challenge. We brought that up the last time we were here. And, of course, we put it off because Jill had to drink her barrel weight in beer every day while we were in Germany.
Excuse me. I had, like, one beer a day.
Oh, come on. I'm being playful.
They brought me back a beer from Germany.
Well, yeah, when we come back, I don't know in what order we're going to talk about this, because my lady likes to do what she likes to do. So we will be back and we'll discuss Germany.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
NewSkyRadio.com.
Blogspot.com is a topic-oriented language translation service. Our translators are highly qualified and experienced in a wide variety of subjects, including legal, medical, technical, financial, and more. Languages include English, Spanish, Italian, French, and many others. If you can't find the language you're looking for, please contact us. We offer personalized quotes tailored to your needs and budget. Go to blogspot.com and get your free quote today. That's BLAGASPOT.com. Blogspot. We're up to interpretations.
Affirmative Athletics, a Freedom Assembly project, is a nonprofit sports and literacy program that positively affirms incarcerated children. By creating a culture centered around strong values of dignity, integrity, respect, and honor, Affirmative Athletics helps mold these young children into responsible and emotionally stable young adults. Find out how you can help. Visit us at www.affirmativeathletics.org. Affirmative Athletics, affirming minds, bodies, and souls of today's youth.
Licensed psychotherapist Kathy DeBono now offers her services through private sessions over secure online video chat or voice-only phone calls if you prefer. You can even choose to use instant messenger or email exchange. Go to KathyIsIn.com to learn more about licensed psychotherapist Kathy DeBono and how she and her unique brand of intuitive counseling can help you achieve the change you want to see in your life. KathyIsIn.com.
So we're back. We're talking about our trip to Germany, and the thing that really struck us was the culture and, you know, people of our own generation and even the generation below us, and how they're living in the history of the Holocaust. Jill went on a walking tour one day with a girl, another girl named Bettina.
Who was amazing. She personally took time out of her day to be my little tour guide in Munich. And she was so, I so appreciated what she did, but I talked to her a little bit about this. And she said that her grandfather was a Nazi. And she said to me, it's interesting to hear your perspective, because I have my own perspective, which is I have no relationship with this man. And there was a whole generation of us that have no relationships with their grandparents because they were a part of this insanity, and we have no relationship to them. So for us, our own history was cut off, obviously, in a completely different way, and not as cruelly or horribly, but we have our own handed down legacy as well. Right, which, again, I never thought about that.
Right.
I never thought about that.
And if I think about it, I don't know if it was. I think it might have been that Bettina who said that to me, like, why do you guys all want to go to concentration
camp? No, it was Melanie.
It was Melanie.
Who said that, our driver, who was awesome.
Yeah, we loved her too. But it occurred to me when you came home and told me that after your trip with her that I wonder what it was like. I wonder what sorts of things were handed down in Bettina's DNA from this. Even though she severed her relationship with her grandfather, who was a Nazi, and she wasn't alive during World War II, and her parents were probably born during World War II. They were babies. I wonder what their relationship to her grandfather and her grandparents were. And I wonder how they taught her growing up. What happened? What were the things that they taught their children? How are they teaching the history of what happened? Because we've heard it here, you know, over and over and over and over and over again, what happened. And I wonder how they heard it there. How do they understand it there? And after you told me you had that conversation with her, I wished I'd gone because I would have wanted to sit there and talk to her for like 2 hours.
Yeah, well, we did learn when we went to Dachau that every German child has to go to a concentration camp twice.
As part of their education.
And that was interesting to me. I didn't realize that. And they also, you know, they said that doing the Hitler salute will get you arrested, as will denying that the Holocaust happened. That's mm-hmm. illegal in Germany.
And it should be.
I had no idea that they had at least gone to that length to honor, not to honor, but yeah, to honor the dead.
Well, it's to make sure no one forgets.
Right.
I mean, you know, if you don't study history, you're doomed to repeat it.
Right.
And we went on this amazing walking tour. So we moved on to Berlin, which was much more intense, quite frankly.
Very.
We'd read a little bit in our little tour book about what to do in Berlin and where to go. And one of the comments that the writer wrote was, expect your bus driver to be a little less, you know, cordial than other places. And I thought, oh, big city. I'm from New York. I understand that. You know, maybe that's a big city mentality. And maybe it is. We got off the plane and we needed to find shuttle bus. Mm-hmm. And I needed to find where the shuttle buses were and got to Berlin immediately, went to a security guard, an airport security guard standing just outside the baggage claim. And I said, do you speak English? And he said, a little bit, which was everybody's answer in Berlin.
Yeah.
In Munich, everybody was like, yeah, what do you want?
Yeah, totally different.
In Berlin, everybody looked at you a little bit suspiciously first and was like, a little bit, like, maybe I'll talk to you. And I asked him where the shuttle buses to the hotels were, and he looked at me a little confused, and then I showed him on the paper, and it was written in German. And he just shrugged his shoulders and said, I don't know, and took a drag off his cigarette.
That was pretty much the attitude of everyone in Berlin.
He was an airport security guard.
Yeah, that's what he's there to do, is to help people.
I went inside and found a different security guard, and it was right around the corner.
The people at our hotel were rude. I mean, to be honest, it was just a totally different vibe from Munich. Munich felt warm, inviting, friendly. And, of course, we had, you know, they had rolled out the welcome mat, you know, specifically for us. But even when we weren't doing stuff that was related to the screening there and I was just walking around, I found it to be very friendly. Whereas Berlin, I found to be very cold. Very, very cold.
Well,
and I'm not even like you. I don't read energy the way you do. But even I felt it there.
Well, I'll tell you, starting with Dachau, I started to shut down a little bit in terms of my energy feelers and my radar. I tried to pull them back a little bit because it was just so huge. And I think I pulled him back as far as I could, but I think that's also why I slept for a week when we came back, because it was just the vibration there was just so intense, and the history there was so intense. And of course, it made me more interested in how could this happen? You know, how could this happen? How could this happen? And it's interesting when you look at it, Hitler, really, if you go study it, he had to have a fertile ground for this kind of thing to happen. And I don't want to sound like anti-German, and I'm not anti-German, but I think that in Berlin, there was an air of, wasn't our fault. And I'm just saying that. I'm clearly just saying that. I want to be clear about that. There was an air in Berlin of, it's over, it's history, but now get on our bus tour and look at our beautiful palaces that we built for the Queen of Prussia, for Sophia Schlotter. I mean, that whole bus tour turned me way off. Way off. We took a bus tour around Berlin. We wore the headphones that on some audio recording in your own language you can hear about the buildings that you're looking at and stuff like that. And there was such a proud pridefulness about every building this voice was describing. And almost every building was finished with, it was reduced to rubble after the Second World War. And then it was rebuilt by King so-and-so. And it was just like, really?
Well, there was no king.
However. I mean, I was just so turned off.
Just pointing that out.
It just seemed like the upper class people just kept trying to rebuild their outside. You know, their palaces and their...
Well, to be fair, that's sort of the history of Germany and Berlin in particular, is that they had to keep rebuilding everything because everything... World War One, World War Two, everything.
Well, and also, I mean, to play the devil's advocate, which I'm surprised I'm doing because I'm obviously with my history, but I mean, what else? What else are they to do?
Right.
I mean,
exactly.
You know, I mean, even me being, you know, not as sympathetic to Germany because of my family, but I mean, they. We started watching Triumph of the Will last night, which is the propaganda film about Hitler that Leni Riefenstahl did in 1934. And we were talking about just this fertile ground that Hitler had at this moment in time when between the two world wars, mm-hmm. there was just such German people needed.
They needed
somebody to believe in. And
right.
that's what Hitler was to them. And yeah, and then, you know, everything fell apart.
But here's the thing, and this is what I've started to read more about. I just started to read The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich, A History of Nazi Germany by William Shearer.
It's pretty much considered the book about...
The book. He was a journalist in during Nazi wartime, and he lived in Berlin for about 6 years during the rise of Hitler and during this time. And so his first book that he ever wrote was called Berlin Diaries, and apparently, as I understand it, it was more emotional and more one-sided. But then he took some time off, got some distance, and then he wrote this book with a more historically balanced perspective. And what's pretty clear, and what I started to feel while I was there, was like, it's not just Hitler. Like, he didn't get there just poof out of nowhere.
No.
There was, and I hear what you're saying about it, they were before the war and there was deprivation and he was going to be their hero. But seriously, I'm taking a little bit of an issue with it because the history of Germany before that set up the ground for this. I mean, the history of Germany. Wait, I found a quote in this book. Okay. This is Goethe, the German politician, artist, writer, philosopher. And he said this. He died in 1832. So this was way before Hitler's time. And he said, I have often felt a bitter sorrow at the thought of the German people, which is so estimable in the individual and so wretched in the generality. And that summed up what I felt in Berlin. It felt like that.
Hmm.
And that's way before Hitler.
Well, I mean, not way before Hitler. That's
100 years. No,
it's 50 years before he was born. So, yeah, but I mean, I'm agreeing with you in that there was a ton of buildup to what was then to happen in Germany. But I think, you know, what you guys witnessed, this whole rebuilding, that's Germany. I mean,
yeah,
that's
and they
what
were,
they
there was
doing.
Construction. I have never in my life been
every
to a place.
Every single street in Berlin was under
every
construction.
Place in
Even
Berlin.
Even more than L.A.?
Yeah, yes. Like 100 times. It was bizarre. Everywhere you went, they were rebuilding something. And I was like, this is the only thing they know how to do, mm-hmm. is rebuild things. Because the entire city was flattened when Berlin fell. I mean, everything,
well,
basically.
Well, that bus tour really turned me off and because it was just this sort of... prideful voice talking about these
right,
buildings,
but,
and there was not one single mention of that I heard the entire time that I was there of some sort of altruistic or humanitarian history happening in Germany. There was always this person conquering this person or fighting this person or killing this person or stealing this person's country or making them sign it over. Like, I was like, where's the rest of it? Is there anything else to talk about?
And maybe this is just because it was a generic bus tour. We missed out on that, you
Perhaps.
Know, like we didn't get to see that part of it. But I have to say that even I didn't take the whole bus tour the way you did, but I still felt this overwhelming heaviness to the city that I have never felt anywhere else in my life that I have visited. And I've been to every continent just about other than Antarctica in the world, and I have never felt this sort of energy
before. I've never felt it either. It was absolutely draining. And I'm not necessarily talking about any one person saying anything to us or the way we
It was just the city itself.
Right.
Very strange.
When I first got there, I think I tweeted, Berlin, a lot like New York, only in German. And I was sort of hinting at, like, the city and the sort of, you know, the security guard with no time for me and stuff like that. But honestly, after being there for 24 hours or 2 days, it's not the same kind of rudeness. It's different. There's something energetically, metaphysically different about the coldness and the heaviness that's there. And it's embedded in German history from before World War II.
And one.
And it's why someone like Hitler was able to rise to power. And when we come back from commercial in just about 30 seconds, we're going to tell you about a walking tour we then took of Berlin with a guy named Rob Shaw, who changed everything for us. We'll be back soon.
Affirmative Athletics, a Freedom Assembly project, is a nonprofit sports and literacy program that positively affirms incarcerated children. By creating a culture centered around strong values of dignity, integrity, respect, and honor, Affirmative Athletics helps mold these young children into responsible and emotionally stable young adults. Find out how you can help. Visit us at www.affirmativeathletics.org. Affirmative Athletics, affirming minds, bodies, and souls of today's youth.
Licensed psychotherapist Kathy DeBono now offers her services through private sessions over secure online video chat or voice-only phone calls if you prefer. You can even choose to use instant messenger or email exchange. Go to KathyIsIn.com to learn more about licensed psychotherapist Kathy DeBono and how she and her unique brand of intuitive counseling can help you achieve the change you want to see in your life. KathyIsIn.com. Blogspot.com is a topic-oriented language translation service. Our translators are highly qualified and experienced in a wide variety of subjects, including legal, medical, technical, financial, and more. Languages include English, Spanish, Italian, French, and many others. If you can't find the language you're looking for, please contact us. We offer personalized quotes tailored to your needs and budget. Go to Blogspot.com and get your free quote today. That's Blagaspot.com. Blogspot. We're up to interpretations.
Philosopher Santayana said, "Those who do not remember the past are condemned to relive it." And that's also a quote in this book that I'm reading. And that also sort of sums up why I thought it was important for us to talk about this today. And it's also the place that Rob Shaw came from, who was our walking tour guide with a company called Berlin Walking Tours.
Yep.
Yeah. So if you do go to Berlin, I'm going to tell you, I encourage you to skip the bus tour and call Berlin Walking Tours and make sure you find out when Rob Shaw is working. They got a bunch of people, but we took several different kinds of tours, and really your tour guide makes all the difference.
Yeah.
And he was a guy from England, and he was extremely well-educated and studied in the subject and clearly had a passion for it. And he'd done his own research and had read everything possible. But he presented the tour to us in a way where his point was, it's important for everyone to really, truly be educated about how this happened. Where did the roots begin? Because it's still happening all over the world. I mean, there are people all over the world who still have this kind of power over other people and who can cause horrible things to happen, and there's horrible things happening in other places. And if we are not careful, if we don't pay close enough attention, this will happen again.
Well, and specifically, you know, he's talking about the environment that allowed this to happen. And when people get desperate and when people feel cornered, they do ridiculously over the top defensive things. And the Holocaust was a result of that. And he pointed out, you know, like the conditions right now in the United States, if we were to teeter farther into an economic crisis, this is the kind of thing that happens. People start attacking other people. They start going to extremes. He talked about how the media played such a big part in the rise of Hitler and how Fox News is like, talk about propaganda. I mean, most of their stories can be, I'm sorry to have to say this, but it's a documented fact that they present slanted views, and a lot of their quote unquote reporting is factually inaccurate.
Anything that is not completely 100% balanced, no matter how obvious the side of the good or the bad is, anything, any news reporting or media reporting of anything that's not 100% balanced is propaganda in that it is not, it cannot be news. If it is swayed in any one way, I mean, even our show right here, clearly, we're not a news program.
No, but we never claim to be a news program.
No, we're not a news program. I am not delivering news. I am delivering our views. I'm hopefully opening discussions and thought and pontification, because that is what I think is necessary for us to start actually changing the world. Now, here's how I think it relates to us at home. And here, there's this grand issue of history. And then there's this grand issue of ancestry and how we hand everything down. And the way we tell history, the way we relive it, is the way we tell it. So if we tell it in a certain way, you're going to be bound to relive it. And that's the case with an entire country, or that's the case with a family. For instance, when I think of how many girls and boys and children are molested and raped by the adults in their community in our country, and how there is this silence. There's this commitment to silence about it. No one wants to rock the boat. No one wants to upset their community. No one wants to upset their family. So they just sort of, they sort of accept it as just how it is. And that, to me, ties in. It ties in with why history and talking and being balanced and being open and being truthful is so important. Because if you are a child who was raped or molested by someone in your community and you don't talk about it, you are just helping that person hide to do it again. And I'm sorry to sound harsh about that, but that is the harsh reality and the harsh truth. And if we want to start shifting our society and changing our society, we need to start talking about truth. And that includes that sort of thing as well. Why are you staring at me like that?
I'm not.
Oh, you look like you're gone. You just look gone. Anyway, so I watched this documentary last night called Awful Normal. And it, to me, I know it's a big jump to jump from Nazi Germany to this. But I'm talking about history and handing down the truth and how important it is. And I want to encourage everyone to go watch it. It's not a film made by a filmmaker. It's not a film made by an artist. It's a film made by a girl who was molested by a family friend when she was a child and had been carrying it around her whole life. She was about 30, I think, when she made the documentary. And she and her sister and her mother take a camera and go and confront the guy, and she has a conversation with him. And I thought it was extremely powerful of her to do that. At the end of the movie, she says, "I did it because I know there's a lot of people who live in silence and who hide. And it's the victims who are hiding while the perpetrators are just out there, you know, being pillars of admired pillars of their community." And it's disgusting to me. It's disgusting. So I really felt like this girl was the anti-Hitler, so to speak. The way she made this documentary, it was really not that well made. There were parts of it that were long and boring, but she wasn't making a movie. She was making a statement. And so it's on Netflix. It's called Awful Normal. I encourage everyone to go watch it, because hiding these things, keeping the peace, not rocking the boat, making sure the admired people of the community stay admired, these are not virtues. This doesn't make you a good girl or boy or a good guy or a good woman. This makes you party to it down the line. So please swallow that whole and think about it. And all right, so back to Rob Shaw. That, I mean, to me, it all ties in.
Yes.
People can't see you nodding, guys.
Yeah.
In the radio. Say something.
Well, I thought that his point in trying to make it relevant to the world that we're living in now was the best part of it. And I think what brought it alive for both of us is that it's not, and maybe why we feel that it is being gay people, being a part of an oppressed class, that it is relevant now. It's not, you know, to quote some of the, of our lovely German friends that we made, who said that was so long ago. There's, yeah, it was so long ago.
Not really.
That's the, well, thing. Is it really wasn't so long ago?
It wasn't.
I mean, that's the thing where when you got, I mean, obviously I've heard you talk, you know, for the last week about your trip and how many times I've heard you guys say everybody just wants to get over it, move on. It's so long ago. My grandmother is still alive. Like, mm-hmm. It's part of history, yeah, but she's still alive. Like, this happened to her. This wasn't, and my grandfather just passed away less than a year ago. Like, And this, that's not far. It's 50, 60 years ago.
And it's because it's the, like what we were saying, it's because they don't have anybody in their country who's still connected to this. In the sense of the victim. I mean, they might have Nazis or German soldiers in their family, but to whom this happened to, there are very few Jews in Germany. So it's not alive for them the way it is for us.
Right. I know it was kind of there's this talk of the German amnesia that they went into after the war and how they all tried to turn and blame Hitler. Oh, it was him. Well, you were feeding him and giving him money and taking care of him
and carrying out his orders.
And I just feel like, look, I can understand you to a degree. I can understand getting wrapped up in a mad con man who's really good at it when my family is starving. I will understand you to a degree. Yeah. Beyond that, you completely off-put me. And I guess that's just where my line is. I mean, beyond being able to talk about it in terms of, well, how do you flip a switch and just decide that murdering thousands and millions of people is okay because your family was hungry?
Here's how. Because that, it's, Rob also talked about that they did a study after World War II specifically about how did this man get all these people to do these awful things.
Yes, but yes, I know, deterring responsibility.
Right, but it's true. I mean, if you think of any military setup, what happens is the person at the top is ultimately responsible for the decisions and the actions being carried out by the soldiers. So technically, like when Abu Ghraib happened, I was kind of mad personally that these soldiers were being held responsible for orders that came above them. The person that should have been held responsible was Dick Cheney. Yes, those soldiers but they should have been punished, but they should not have been solely responsible. And
Let me tell you something. I'm not even talking about the soldiers so much as I'm talking about the people who lived in Germany and decided to thrive off of whatever it was they were getting. They were the few that were prospering from this or their lives were being, you know, it was the reason they decided to support the war or support. I'm not even talking necessarily about the guys on the battlefield.
I know, but I'm talking about how it's related. And I'm saying people in general, if someone above them in a position of authority says the responsibility is not on your shoulders, people go, okay.
All right, I'll do it.
I'll do it. Because ultimately what they're...
I get it. But I get it. And when, like I said before, when you're living in deprivation and your family is starving to a certain degree, I will buy that. To a certain degree, I just say, you are weak-willed, you have no soul, and need to stand up for human beings.
But, and I can't believe I'm saying a but to this, if you choose then, if you already go this far, right,
Exactly.
It's a point of, how can I not put on the gas chamber now, because I'm going to get killed. It's going to be my skin.
Well, and I'm sure that's very true.
Because you're either with them or you're against them. And that's how it was.
And I'm absolutely certain that that's true for thousands and thousands of people. But Rob made a point as well that during Hitler's regime, there was a period of time where they were, you know, doing these medical experiments on all of these people. And they started to decide to eliminate people who were of a certain low IQ or if they had a certain physical disability. They just started to take them away from their families and put them in these institutions, but really they were just killing them.
Mm-hmm.
Once the society started to talk to each other, because this was now their brothers, their sisters, their niece's friend or their nephew or their neighbor down the street, they weren't necessarily Jews, okay? Now they were exterminating Germans who were not Jews, who happened to be of, you know, mentally retarded or physically disabled in some way. But they weren't telling the families. They were just taking them away and saying, we're taking them to these institutions. And then they were just exterminating them. Well, once those people found out what was happening, they did protest. Mm-hmm. They did create a stir. They did create such a stir that particular batch of policies had to be destroyed.
Mm.
So his point was, don't freaking kid yourself. If you organize and stand up, if everybody stands up, it will crumble.
Mm-hmm.
It has to crumble.
Yeah,
even a regime, the Nazi regime has changed its policies when people decided to stand up for their own.
Right. Well, and eventually it did crumble. I mean, it did. But it's you're with them or against them. And after you go to a certain point as a soldier or whoever you're hearing, you know, the orders from above.
It didn't crumble from within. It crumbled because allies came in and made it crumble. So it's not like the people of that country finally said, no, guess what, Hitler, we don't want you anymore.
That's true.
as long as they were getting what they wanted, they kept with it. So, yes, I'm harboring some anger right now. We will come back and finish this conversation. What can we all learn from it? How can we all grow? Let's go to commercial.
Lagaspot.com is a topic-oriented language translation service. Our translators are highly qualified and experienced in a wide variety of subjects, including legal, medical, technical, financial, and more. Languages include English, Spanish, Italian, French, and many others. If you can't find the language you're looking for, please contact us. We offer personalized quotes tailored to your needs and budget. Go to Blagaspot.com and get your free quote today. That's BLAGASPOT.com. Blagaspot. We're up to interpretations.
Licensed psychotherapist Kathy DeBono now offers her services through private sessions over secure online video chat or voice-only phone calls if you prefer. You can even choose to use instant messenger or email exchange. Go to KathyIsIn.com to learn more about licensed psychotherapist Kathy DeBono and how she and her unique brand of intuitive counseling can help you achieve the change you want to see in your life. KathyIsIn.com.
Affirmative Athletics, a Freedom Assembly project, is a nonprofit sports and literacy program that positively affirms incarcerated children. By creating a culture centered around strong values of dignity, integrity, respect, and honor, Affirmative Athletics helps mold these young children into responsible and emotionally stable young adults. Find out how you can help. Visit us at www.affirmativeathletics.org. Affirmative Athletics, affirming minds, bodies, and souls of today's youth.
So we're back. We're talking about our trip to Germany. Mostly Berlin was where a lot of our interest in history started getting stirred up. We started learning new things, seeing new things, and feeling new things, mostly. So we're talking about them today, and how can we move forward, and how can we grow? I am gripped in this book, The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich. It's always been an interesting piece of history. I've read about it before. I've learned about it. But something about being there... Even before I heard anyone speak or say anything, something about landing in Berlin and being in that environment where the brain center of all of that was just got under my skin in an energetic way that I haven't been able to shake. So I've been reading and we've been talking about it and who's responsible and how do we stop it from happening in the future. And to me, history and telling it honestly and openly is really, really important. And I've been thinking about it and pontificating on it, how it goes from politics all the way down to, you know, our kids here in the States who are silently, you know, living with rape in their families.
Right.
And it may not seem like it connects, but if you really think about handing down truth in your family, truth and your ancestry of truth, then these things will have to be cut off. These things will have to... You cut off their lifeblood when you take away their ability to hide.
Well, the other part of this that we didn't really get into that would sort of set us up for this trip to Berlin is that we did this beautiful day tour on Sunday after the screening, and we went up into the Alps and saw, or went down to the Alps rather, and saw the a couple of castles that belonged to King Ludwig II, who was basically their most famous king, and was, we learned about all this history.
Of Bavaria.
The one thing.
In Bavaria, I didn't see one cream pie.
There you go. Sorry, honey, I wasn't on the button. There you go.
Okay.
Anyway, when I went on the walking tour with Bettina a couple days before we went on this day tour, she had mentioned Ludwig II and said that he was gay. Okay, that's all I knew about him. She just said that he was Bavaria's most beloved king and that he was gay. And I said, oh, interesting. So then we go on this tour, and now we are being given everything other than the fact no one said anything about him being gay. Now, he never got married. He never had kids. He lived with Richard Wagner.
King Ludwig loved the arts. He did not want to get married. He had a very best friend who he invited to live in his castle with him named Richard Wagner. Richard Wagner was a very famous opera composer. And we were like, say it.
He's gay. He loved the arts.
Crying out loud.
He loved interior design. I mean, he's like...
And penises.
And penises, yes.
And here's the other thing. He seemed like a really cool guy. The Bavarian people loved him. He was peace-minded, peace-oriented. He stopped. There was a lot of fighting. He lost, I think, a bunch of his kingdom to Prussia at one point. But he went and talked to them and was like, look, just let us live here. You know, if you ever are in a fight, I'll give you my army. But don't come in and screw up our little kingdom. And Prussia was like, okay, cool. So he promised.
Well, they actually defeated him.
Right, they defeated him. And then he said, let's handle it this way.
Yes.
And he talked them into a peaceful ending of not coming in and taking over.
Right.
And he had his castles built, and he specifically did not want big portraits of himself in them. He just had these really amazing frescoes painted all over the house. But he specifically asked for no photos of himself, which is not arrogant and not egotistical of a king and not like a king.
He basically just wanted to watch
no
theater
flags.
And listen. Yeah,
he wanted no
flags.
His castles have no flags around them because to him flags were a symbol of war and he wanted to promote peace. So basically his family thought this is a really bad guy to be a king.
Well, and he's gay.
Seriously.
Yeah, and he's gay.
He hates war. He loves peace and opera.
Yes.
Right.
And doesn't want to get married and have
doesn't
kids.
Doesn't want to get married. And the people of Bavaria loved him and trusted him. So I have an idea, and this is what his family did to him. Once he moved into his new castle with Richard Wagner, he got to live there for exactly 4 months. Almost 4 months. I think it was like a week shy of 4 months before his family came in there, had him committed to a mental hospital, and then told the people of Bavaria that he had lost his mind and gone mad and gone insane.
Well, and he died the day or the night or the day after he was committed. So he mysteriously died in a lake, which basically means he was murdered. And he killed the doctor that went out by the lake with him.
Yeah.
Probably in defense.
He was apparently about 6'4" and a big, you know, big
and a
guy.
Strong swimmer.
Yeah.
So anyway, the point that I'm making is that we went into Berlin with this whole thing having happened where this huge part of this man's life was completely left out of every single tour that we took.
Yeah.
Nobody mentioned it.
Nobody mentioned it.
And we were with these other American girls and we were like, are they going to mention the fact that he's gay? And they're like, what? And we're
like, this BS.
Are you kidding?
It's this BS presentation of history where they want
right.
They just, and this is my problem, they just want to keep teaching it the way they wish it was.
Right.
They just want to keep teaching it to the way they want it to be. And what they're doing is they're handing down that hate. They're handing down that self-shame and loathing. There were some gay kids on our tour. There were a lot of families there. And you can look around and see kids that, you know, have a good chance of being gay. You can feel them out. And I'm like, what would it be different for that child right there if he heard on this tour that King Ludwig was gay and that his country loved him and that he brought peace to the land and that he was this, you know, great. What would the difference be for that kid? And that's history. That's our history. Those are our gay ancestors that we never get to learn about.
Right. But they left it out. They conveniently left
it
out.
They always leave it out.
And I mean, I have to say, even on the tour to Dachau, that there was one thing that our tour guide said, who was German, by the way. And I don't know if you caught this, but he said something about the fact that the people in the surrounding town probably didn't know what was going on there. And I was like, are you kidding me? And that's what really turned me off. I was like, this is ridiculous. You're making this assertion that these people didn't know what was going on. Yes, they did know what was going on, and they turned a blind eye to it. He was German, though, and I think he has this internal shame, and so he wanted to say in defense, not everybody knew what was going on here. And
I'm sure that's what his family handed down to him. Like, we didn't know, you know, we didn't know, because how else do they survive that? How else do they survive?
Yeah. Well, and
with guilt.
And I want for them to move on. I love the country. I just want them to be honest. I don't like the whitewashing
of
it.
Yeah, but
all.
It's hard to be honest about a truth like that.
It is.
Just like
sure it is. But you know what?
I'm not saying that.
If we don't slap that amnesia off their face, I mean, it's just going to keep repeating itself. I'm just sickened by hiding people hiding awfulness. Stop hiding others' awfulness. Stand up for what's right. Stand up for what's good. Stand up for yourself, and you are standing up for everyone who comes behind you.
Amen.
Amen.
I agree with that.
Learn about your history. Learn about your ancestry. And for our gay brothers and sisters and children out there, there's a new documentary out called Veto. And he's one of our gay fathers. You want to go check that out.
You want to see it.
Yeah.
One last thing, ladies. We have Sweet Trip coming up in September 1st through the 8th. They've added rooms. The link is on our Facebook page. Next week's guest is none other than Kathy's mom, Linda Bono. And that's all for now.
Bye.
Bam! They made it through another one.
Double or nothing next week, Sue.
You're on.
You're listening to Kathy is In with Kathy DeBono.
You're listening to Kathy is In, the Kathy DeBono Show.
It was posted on Craigslist.
Posted March 13th, 2012, Naperville, Illinois. Read by actress Maya Madison.
I am Black Lady in Naperville, Illinois, 60540, being bullied and assaulted by a racist terrorist. I am looking for a bodyguard. Help me to fight them. I have found out what is happening to me and somewhat why. It seems that someone reported me to authorities as a threat, and they have been using Big Brother bully tactics to snoop, pry, and spy on me. However, they came up with nothing and went away empty. However, they left me and my life in complete turmoil. Now, at this point, I seek litigation rather than a bodyguard. I lost my job, and I even found evidence of a spy cam in my APT. I could not find it physically, but I did detect the Bluetooth address. I have a copy of print screen, smart, huh? And traced it to Samsung. Naperville knew about this and did not help me. In fact, I was left for dead because I had ODD'd on medicine. And they knew it and did not give treatment. I wish someone with some power could help me. I am willing to go to a news media with a story if they can figure out entire episode for me. They put some comprising picture of me to provoke me into doing something stupid so they could arrest me for something and say face. The day in question, the FBI, TSA, and a lot of PPL was there. And I am the one lonely Black lady living in an all-white community. I lost my job at DirecTV. I need help. I have no one to turn to. Does President Obama know that Americans are being attacked and by and destroyed by the government? How do I get my story to him? I do not have help yet, and I fear for my life from his cabinet of elected officials. How can I get the word to him before it's too late? P.S. If something happens to me, you know where to start. I live in Naperville. Illinois 60540. My name is Erica. I am horrified. I am horrifically terrified for my life because they know they screwed up.
That's a cold read for the...
It was posted on Craigslist.
You're listening to Kathy is In, the Kathy DeBono Show.
Blogspot.com is a topic-oriented language translation service. Translators are highly qualified and experienced in a wide variety of subjects, including legal, medical, technical, financial, and more. Languages include English, Spanish, Italian, French, and many others. If you can't find the language you're looking for, please contact us. We offer personalized quotes tailored to your needs and budget.
Affirmative Athletics, a Freedom Assembly Project, is a nonprofit sports and literacy program that positively affirms incarcerated children. By creating a culture centered around strong values of dignity, integrity, respect, and honor, Affirmative Athletics helps mold these young children into responsible and emotionally stable young adults. Find out how you can help. Visit us at www.affirmativeathletics.org. Affirmative Athletics, affirming minds, bodies, and souls of today's youth.
Who is
Psychotherapist Kathy DeBono now offers her services through private sessions over secure online video chat or voice-only phone calls if you prefer. You can even choose to use instant messenger or email exchange. Go to KathyIsIn.com to learn more about licensed psychotherapist Kathy DeBono and how she and her unique brand of intuitive counseling can help you achieve the change you want to see in your life. KathyIsIn.com.
You're listening to Kathy Is In, the Kathy DeBono Show.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Our hosts are setting a new standard for a fresh kind of talk radio, creating conversations that are transforming the world, one listener at a time. Transformation Talk Radio's mission is to broadcast a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent news, educational and practical information. Topics range from personal development to critical issues relevant to a rapidly changing world. Stay tuned. Transformation Talk Radio starts at the top of every hour.
TransformationTalkRadio.com. Transform your life.
I used to be afraid, and now I love. I feel like fear just cripples you and love frees you. Thank you so much for doing what you're doing and changing from fear to love and showing people that that's the only way. I love, I love, I love. I no longer fear. Thank you.
You're tuned in to Transformation Talk Radio. Think the Dr. Pat shows the cat's meow? Just listen to what some of her transformative guests have had to say.
What's your personal message? What would you like to leave us with?
Believe in yourself always. Remember that you are a gift. You are a miracle. And the only way you can return any part of that gift is what you do with it. Live into yourself. Be that miracle. And thank you, Pat. I love joining you. You're a wonderful host.
Thank you. And we're going to bring Eldon back because we just haven't even scratched the surface here. Thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on.
Thank you for listening. And keep us tuned in right here on Transformation Talk Radio.